SNAPRI recently put out a new report back at the beginning of March, talked about some of the implications for the farm economy and farm incomes. Kind of give us an idea. What was in that report? Kind of give us a thumbnail sketch of that.
I think probably the two biggest stories we had in this baseline outlook this year were that we do expect to see higher prices for food at the consumer level. That was of great interest to people who write for major urban newspapers and the like. And also the other important news, of course, is that we are looking at pretty good levels of farm income this year. We expect consumer food price inflation to be about 4.2% in 2011, and we expect net farm income to be about $99 billion this year, most ever in nominal terms.
How much of an increase, I guess, in the farmer's share of the dollar does that represent?
It's probably not a very big change in the producer's share of the consumer food dollar, because we have seen higher prices for oil and other costs of getting food from the farm to the final consumer. But rather, it's probably just kind of holding our own, if you will, in terms of the share of the dollar going to the farmer from the consumer food dollar.
Sounds like that there's something else driving the consumer's food dollar up besides maybe what the farmer's getting at the gate.
That's certainly true. I mean, if you look at the overall value of food consumed in this country, the portion of that dollar that goes back to the farmer is less than 20 cents. So yes, while we are seeing higher prices for many farm commodities, that has at least some impact on consumer food prices. There's certainly lots of other factors at play here as well, including higher oil prices.
Are energy costs the biggest driver? Is that what's really going to push up the consumer food prices?
They're probably the biggest reason for the year-over-year change that we're going to see in 2011. So the higher oil prices we've been experiencing in recent months, those increase the cost of transporting food, the cost of processing food, and those are a big share of the overall consumer food dollar. Overall, even a bigger share, of course, are wages, but we don't expect to see a huge increase or a huge drop in wages paid to the folks who take food from the farm to the consumer.
I guess what are we going to see as a result of this in the overall farm sector then? I mean, if we've got a little bit better profit margins for the farmers, what is that going to translate into maybe in longer terms? Or do we have anything to tie to that, at least at this point?
Well, we certainly are seeing different experiences in different parts of the country for different types of producers. I mean, crop producers, for the most part, appear likely to have a pretty good year in 2011, given what we know today. So we expect income for them to be pretty good, and that means they'll be able to buy more machinery. We've already seen it being reflected in higher prices for farmland and other things that it's going to have an effect on the overall economy. In terms of livestock producers, of course, it's much more of a mixed bag. The positive is that we have seen higher prices for cattle, for hogs, in 2011, and that will indeed help the bottom line for many livestock producers. But they're also facing much higher feed costs this year. So while maybe their margins are better than they were in 2009, at the worst days of the recession, they're still not making the kind of profits that they'd like to be making today. So very different picture for different parts of American agriculture right now.
It also looks like our demand, especially on the international level, is remaining pretty strong for like the meat and milk products that come out of the U.S. farm sector.
That's right. In spite of these higher prices that we're experiencing across most of the livestock sector, we think that the share of the U.S. production that's going to be exported of meat and dairy production is about the same or even a bit higher in 2011 than it was last year and the year before. So that's obviously a positive thing for the livestock side. If you're talking about the crop side, of course, demand from China in particular for soybeans has just been incredible this year. We've seen rapid growth in Chinese consumption of soybean meal and feed rations, and increased use of vegetable oil for human consumption as well. And that's been a major factor in oilseed markets as it affects the entire world.
Well, and then, of course, when we see the oilseed markets go up, I would imagine that also that tightens some margins for some of the offshoots of that, including the bioenergy sector.
That's right. Each commodity has its own story this year, except for soybeans. I think one story was probably China. If you're going to talk about corn, of course, it was the fact that we had the smaller-than-expected corn crop in 2010 that probably tightened up supplies there more than any other single factor. In the case of wheat, it was bad crops in Ukraine and Russia in 2010 that tightened up supplies there dramatically in world markets. So each has their own story. It has implications for biofuel producers as well. These higher feedstock prices for a biofuel plant would be a huge negative, were it not for the fact that we have higher oil prices as well. These higher oil prices are allowing biofuel producers to continue to expand production in spite of the higher cost of the corn they're using in those plants.
Do those higher oil prices, though, I mean, are they going to be able to drive the prices, you know, that they can get for, let's say, biodiesel and ethanol and those type of biofuels up enough without, I guess, at the same time, crippling the supply chain into those biofuels plants?
Right. There's a lot going on in biofuel markets right now. Everything from the price of oil to the price of corn to what's happening in terms of policy to where we are relative to the infamous blend wall, to whether or not we're going to be able to expand E15 consumption in any time in the near future. So just lots and lots of uncertainties right now. It's probably one of the reasons why we're not seeing nearly the kind of investment we have been seeing in new biofuel plants today.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the different commodities. Specifically, I know you guys talked about the prices for fed steers, feeder calves, and hogs. What are you going to see with those? What have you seen, and what are you going to see maybe in the next year?
Well, we do think that as we're seeing a little bit less production of beef this year with continued strong export demand, it is going to be an upward pressure on prices for cattle, both at the fed cattle and the feeder cattle levels. These numbers were prepared back in January, I have to point out, so there will be cases where maybe market developments will overtake us here. But at that time, we were expecting about roughly a 10% increase in steer prices in 2011, and a more modest increase in feeder steer prices. Again, the more modest increase in feeder steer prices being attributed primarily to the big run-up in corn prices that increases the cost to feedlot operator.
You mentioned earlier about the lower U.S. corn yields last year. What do you expect to happen in 2011 with the possible amount of yield and what the price could be?
That's right. A lot of uncertainty going into this year with the stocks of corn as tight as they are right now. All eyes are going to be on the size of the 2011 corn crop. If we have what we consider to be a trend yield of corn, about 162 bushels per acre, and if we really were to allow the ethanol tax credit to expire at the end of 2010, as we've assumed for purposes of our baseline, yeah, that may allow us to allow us to have some rebuilding of corn stocks in 2011. But if we were to have a short corn crop for whatever reason, whether because of less area planted than we thought or a lower yield, or if we have more demand than we expected, perhaps because something was done that does allow more biofuel production to occur in 2011, that market situation for corn could continue to be very tight and prices could even move higher than they've been in recent months.
Is that going to an impact on what the bottom line for the actual producers would get?
Yeah, certainly will. I mean, the sort of price uncertainty we face going forward right now is probably larger than it's been certainly any time before 2007, but even probably as large as it's been the last several years as well. With stocks as tight as they are now, it's very easy to tell a story where corn prices are a dollar or more higher than they are today at harvest time, or a dollar or more lower than they are today at harvest time.
Sounds like some pretty interesting information. Bottom line, what should people take away from this report, and maybe what should they expect to see from the projections from it?
Well, one thing we always try to stress is that don't take our projections or those of anybody else too seriously. We don't have a crystal ball that's going to tell you precisely what the price of corn and the price of cattle is going to be 6 months or a year from now. There are so many market forces that are inherently uncertain right now that expect a lot of volatility. If you're a producer or someone who's using agricultural products, you're going to be very active in risk management these days to make sure that you're able to handle different contingencies that might come up over the course of the next several months.
I know that that your organization has had a chance to present this report to legislators. Any feedback from them so far, and have they indicated that you know, because of this report, they might change any direction on either policy or you know, maybe legislation?
I think it's been important for people to understand just how sensitive the current market situation is. As I said, you know, if we were to have a bad crop this summer, that will probably raise some policy questions, you know, about whether we need to be taking any actions to try to moderate any price increases that might occur. On the other hand, you know, people who've been pointing to what are reasonably good levels of farm income by historical standards this year, even good levels by many measures, will want to remind folks that, well, things could turn down easily as well. And so we'll suggest that, you know, while we may have pretty good farm income now, you may want to be careful about changing policies that could provide a safety net should things turn bad.
Sounds like you've got some cautious optimism overall. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think that's true, especially on the crop side of the ledger. I think we're probably fairly optimistic in this particular outlook. But just reminding folks that there is a need to use uncertainty.
Pat Westhoff with APRI at the University of Missouri. Thanks for talking to us.
Thanks a lot for the opportunity.